We've come to the place in David Murray's book where he begins, he's talking about, in this case, what he calls happy world. And the equation that he uses to begin this chapter is, he says that everywhere grace is greater than everywhere sin, and that equals a positive view of life. And just to set the stage again, let me remind you that the title of the book is Happy Christian, and his thesis is that since we belong to Christ, that belonging to Him brings a certain joy to our life that addresses many of the fears or the unhappiness that we often see around us. And he's taking little bits of slices of life to address where our relationship to Christ is an influence and leads to a happiness in life rather than to the sadness that so often plagues us. So in this case, it's about understanding the happy world and what he calls everywhere grace. And that's the term that he has adopted to help understand an older theological term that you might be familiar with, and that theological term is common grace. Common grace. So I wanted to begin today by asking you to define common grace, and then we'll go ahead and see how that common grace is a positive influence in life. Would someone please define common grace? Good. Good, yeah.
So I think what we sing in the offertory is Psalm 145.
Mm-hmm.
That's really common grace that God provides for all of His creatures.
Mm-hmm. Good. You've just checked off two of the verses I was going to read.
Right? I think he also meant in terms of restraint, and it keeps us from being as wicked and sinful as we could be.
Very good. That's a third. Yeah, very good. You guys are doing a really good job with common grace. We're going to... anybody else want to add to that? You have a very good full definition here already.
It's not part of the grace used for salvation.
Okay, are you looking over my... very good. Well, let's develop that a little bit, and you've already done a really good job. Let me tell you why Murray calls it everywhere grace. He does that because of a misunderstanding of the term common grace. When you hear the term common, the first thing that probably comes to mind is ordinary or everyday. And Murray makes a very good point that there's nothing ordinary when God's grace is involved. That this is very extraordinary that the Lord would show kindness to anybody at all, or would show love to anybody at all. It's not extraordinary that He would show grace. It's part of His nature. But it is extraordinary in that it is an act of God. And so we can misunderstand that term common grace if we think of it as just something ordinary. It is very extraordinary. And where we go wrong is by its application. It is experienced by everyone everywhere to some degree, and that's where the word common comes from. So across the board, the whole world knows these common experiences of God's goodness. So the theme of this chapter and the application of this chapter is that God does extend His common grace to all of creation. And the task for us is to learn to see that grace in the world around you and to celebrate it as well, and more than celebrate, to acknowledge it as coming from God's hand and to worship Him for that. We can even take it a step further and say to ignore it is not only damaging, but it is sinful. And I'm going to build that case here this afternoon. So common grace is what we are going to talk about. And Sam, you made the point that it's different than saving grace. This is important to recognize, and it's also a reason why people misunderstand the term. So what is saving grace? I'll ask you to define that
effectual.
Too. Okay, it's effectual. What does that mean, Jonathan?
It means that the saving grace works in a way that draws us unto himself.
Good. And who receives saving grace?
His people.
Right, so there's a narrow focus on saving grace that is applied to the children of God. That is, saving grace is not given to the entirety of the world. And here's where the term common grace can be misunderstood, in the sense that if God gives grace to all, then maybe all are saved, or we could follow that in a couple of different directions. Saving grace is just that. It is for salvation. The grace that he gives just to his elect and that brings about faith and salvation. And common grace doesn't save, but it is grace nonetheless. And this is the point that is important to recognize. Common grace is grace. It does come from God. And God does show his goodness in every place and to every person to some degree. We had several passages that were mentioned. I'll give them here if you'd like to look them up on your own. Matthew 5:45, which is God's letting the rain fall on the just and the unjust. Psalm 145:9, which is the God's giving food in season to all his creation. You can also look at Acts 14, verses 15 through 17, and John 1:9. These passages describe the light of God that is shed on the entirety of the world. One other verse I'll give you, that's Romans 2:4, which speaks of how God is motivated by love. A certain love is extended to the unbelieving world, not a saving love, but it is a measure of love that goes even to the reprobate. Just as a side note, if you have a chance to read this chapter, Murray makes a really telling application of this, that this should be an evangelistic motivation for us and even an evangelistic tool for us as we interact with the world. Murray observes, "Do you see the love of God in this? One of the most powerful tools in our evangelistic armory is the goodness of God. If we tell people only about their sin and refuse to point out God's mercy and grace in their lives, not just what is offered, but what is really there, we are missing out on a vital evangelistic lever. By highlighting God's existing mercy, we encourage sinners to seek even more mercy." And that was one place I underlined in my book as being an encouragement to me in the task of evangelism. But to use it in evangelism, you need to see it yourself. You need to see God's goodness all around you. So you can see it in the people around you because they are made in the image of God. What are some characteristics of God that you see in people around you? Just call out some of those characteristics that you see.
Compassion.
Sure, compassion.
Sense of morality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Forgiveness.
Yeah.
Wise.
Graciousness. Good. Yeah, yeah, that's a big one, isn't it?
Mercy.
His mercy is shown even in people around us. Yeah.
Skills.
Exactly. Yeah. Understanding the created order. That's the image of God at work.
creativity.
Very good. Creativity is a mark of God. I'm glad you've moved from the attributes of God that we would think of it in His righteousness and things like that to more common aspects, creativity, understanding of arts and sciences, and application of that. Well, see that in the people around you and rejoice in it. It is far too easy to only see what is negative and the failings of the people around you and to harp on that. And guess what? If that's all you see, your outlook on life is going to be damaged. And your attitude of life is going to be damaged and it's going to be negative. And here's where I'll take that next step and say it's actually a sinful attitude. Because you're denying the common grace of God that is at work in the world around you. You're denying the full picture if you just look at what's negative around you and harp on that. You're denying the common grace of God. And it's a grievous sin and is damaging to you. It flavors your attitude about the world. See it in the people around you. You could see it in nature around you. We've cited really the easy ones, but do you realize that if you believe common grace, that means that there is the grace of God that is at work in the non-believers around you? Let me say that again. There is common grace of God that is at work in non-believers around you. And it is appropriate and even important for you to recognize that. Murray makes the application of saying it's okay to enjoy the unbelieving surgeon that understands science or understands medicine and applies that well. You can enjoy food that's been made by a Chinese or by an Indian or by the barbecue your neighbor makes who is not a believer. It's appropriate to enjoy that. You can apply that to music and literature and science and business. It's okay to enjoy the common grace of God around you. One last application that the hardest application that I think that is made is by Murray is that even here I'm citing the best cases, but in the most difficult cases there's common grace that may be found. I'm just going to read his quote. Find the most sadistic child abuser, the most disturbed serial killer, or the most monstrous terrorist, and you'll find everywhere grace somewhere in his life. You'll find traces of God's undeserved kindness, even breath itself. It is hard to see. The evil is so thick and dark that it almost envelops everything else. But awful though these places and people are, none of them are as bad as they possibly could be. And this is what Rachel was saying, the restraining of evil is part of God's common grace. And the negative side of us will see only the evil and will harp on only the evil. And it's here's a place where you can rejoice that God has restrained even the worst. They aren't as bad as they could have been. That all has to be qualified and say we don't turn a blind eye to sin. We don't wink at that and say it didn't happen. It does happen. And we can be very honest about that and cry out to God in the midst of it. But don't deny the common grace of God. Challenge yourself to find that in the tough situations. So this week you will face challenging situations. And here's the application that I would give to you. In the midst of that, at the end of the day, the beginning of the next day, pray that the Lord would help you to find God's grace at work in that situation and to thank Him for it. If you struggle with this, then work even harder at it. Write it down and make a practice of finding God at work in your life this week and thanking Him for it. I've gone over a little bit, but I hope that application you take to heart. If you have questions, you can ask me afterwards. Let's close in prayer, please. Lord, far too often we don't see the whole picture of what You're doing. And far too often we willfully ignore the whole picture. We willfully want to see what is worst. We willfully emphasize what is the worst in our life, in our work, in our relationships. And we deny that You are there. We deny that You are at work. We ask, God, that You would forgive us of this. Help us to see Your common grace at work in our lives. And that we would come to rejoice in that and worship You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, you're dismissed.